You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin, and it's my pleasure to welcome some guests into our studio today who will be performing this weekend with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. Cellist Amit Peled, Ambassador Delano Lewis, and Lonnie Klein, conductor of Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. Welcome to you all.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with Amit Peled. You are an Israeli-American cellist, and I read somewhere that your first aspirations for basketball, and I have that's to tell true. My listeners that Amit is about 6'5", 6'5".
That's true.
All right, so how did you go from basketball? Who put your first cello into your hands, and how did you make the switch from the court to the stage?
Well, I grew up in a kibbutz in Israel, a tiny social community in the north of the country, and part of our education, it was like heaven growing up there, I must say. My parents still live there, and part of the education was in fourth grade that we all had to pick an instrument. Didn't matter if you like it or not. And the question came to me, what do you want to play? And under our classroom was the music room, and there was a girl who played cello, and she was 14. And I didn't dare talking to her. So I figured if I play cello, I'll have to practice with her. Did I know that you practice by yourself? But and I had the whole plan right there. I'll go school bus with her to cello lesson, and I had the whole thing planned. And I said, I would like to play cello. And the teacher was shocked, and they told my parents, you know, your son is going to play cello. And they were shocked because none of them are musicians. And that's how I started. And the plan with the girl never worked, and I got stuck with the cello.
How old were you?
I was 10 years old, which is quite late. And for 4 years, I did both. I did basketball and cello, and basketball was much more serious. And I had dreams of going to the NBA and the whole thing. But then when I was 14, I moved to study in Tel Aviv, in the big city, with my first real cello teacher. It was not my plan. Somebody talked to my parents and says, you know, your son is talented, you better take him to a real teacher before it's too late. And I was really upset with them. I loved my teacher. And I ended up going to Tel Aviv once a week, taking three buses, about 3 hour ride with one of my parents each time. I was too young to go by myself. And after a year, when I was 15, my teacher said, you know, it's too serious. You're really good at it. You have competitions. You need to practice 3-4 hours a day, which was like a shock for me. And I couldn't do both. And he said, well, you have to decide. And I remember sitting in my room in the kibbutz at home trying to decide. And the only reason why I picked up the cello rather than basketball was that I was not tall enough. I said, well, there's no chance I'll be a player because I'm not tall enough. And then, of course, I grew up to be 6'5". But I don't regret it. I really love the cello. And by 15, I knew that this is my life mission, and I love what I'm doing.
So a couple of questions I want to get to. One is, you have a kind of unusual, sometimes you're playing some unusual repertoire, including this weekend, the Victor Herbert Cello Concerto, which we'll talk about because it had a lot of influence on some other great composers. Hmm. But I noticed that your Carnegie Hall Concerto debut was Hindemith. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a lot of people would just go with some very famous cello, Dvorak or something like that, and not these lesser-known ones. So,
I do play the Dvorak and Elgar and Schumann. You know, as cellist, you have to play all of them.
Yeah.
I guess I can only say I love those pieces, but I didn't really plan to go in that direction. These days, you know, of course we have Yo-Yo Ma, who is maybe the greatest cellist, and when you call him, he's going to play usually Dvořák. But when you call a younger artist, an unknown that will probably not sell as many tickets, you want to make something interesting in the program. So a lot of conductors or presenters will call my manager and said, we want Amit, but let's do the Hindemith Concerto. And then they call me. Have you played Hindemith? Oh, sure. Of course. I love it. The moment the phone is down, I run to Google, and I Google it, and I say, oh, my God, I have to learn it. And same went with the Herbert. My manager, Bill Capone, who's a wonderful manager, called me 3 years ago and said, I have a big tour with a German orchestra in the States, 19 concerts, and we would like to have two concertos. One would be Shostakovich, which I played many times. And the other one, we want something more exotic and American, and we want the presenter to have the choice. And I thought about the Victor Herbert. Have you played it? And I said, oh, love it. Same answer. Then I went and looked, and I actually fell in love with it. And out of 19 presenters, 13 picked the Herbert, just because it's unknown.
Yeah.
And people love it, and I fell in love with his music. I think it's just great music, and it's deserved to be heard. And it influenced Dvořák to write his concerto.
Exactly.
So why not playing it. Now I force my students to play it. The younger ones, the freshmen, I usually suggest to go through the Herbert. He was a cellist himself. You have in a span of 22 minutes everything you can expect from a cello. Of course, the beautiful lines, singing quality, a lot of runs, a lot of listening to the orchestra, chamber music qualities in it. So it's just, it has everything and it needs to be played.
Yeah, and he was, I mean, Americans, if they remember his name at all, it's, you know, Babes in Toyland or something like that, maybe a march. But it was Dvorak who, yeah, they knew each other when Dvorak was teaching in New York, and he heard that cello concerto, and he had never thought of writing a cello concerto.
Right. There were buddies, like they were best friends. And Victor Herbert, when you walk in Central Park, there's a big sculpture of him. There's a street in Lake Placid. He used to go there in the summers, and huge mansion. He was very rich. He was a John Williams of that time. He was very successful, celebrity in many ways. Mm-hmm. And in the 50s, you mentioned Foreman before the show, in 50s, 40s, 50s of last century, every cellist played the Victor Herbert cello concerto. It was part of the repertoire, and for some reason it disappeared. So I'm hoping that we're doing some dignity to it and bringing it back to the repertoire.
All right, before we move to Delano Lewis and Lonnie, I just want you to tell us how the story of how you got to play the cello that you're playing. This is a big week for famous instruments with this terrible story that has a happy ending with Frank Almond's violin, Stradivarius, being stolen. And so you have Pablo Casals's cello, or he played it at some point, and I
have Pablo Casals's cello that he played most of his life, from 1908 to 1973. But unfortunately, here on this trip, I don't have it because the cello, since it wasn't played for many, many years, the neck of it sank down for about 10 millimeters. And therefore, the sound is very muted. And Casals's widow, Marta Istomin Casals, has decided to restore it. And it is now in New York being restored. And I can't wait to get it back. In March, I'm going to Puerto Rico to play in the Casals Festival. And I'm supposed to get it back right before that, but I do have a very special cello with me. I have an Andreas Guarneri cello here from 1689, even older than the Casals cello, and it's a very special cello as well, and I'm keeping my hands on it. I don't want it to be stolen in Las Cruces, even though it's good publicity. But
I don't think Frank Almond did it for publicity.
No, of course not.
No, I'm joking. But you had to audition for her.
Yeah.
Marta Casals, yeah.
I went to her house, apartment in Washington, and played for her. It was not a specific audition to get the cello. I never dreamed of even seeing that cello. I just played for her because she's very influential, a legend figure in the music world and even beyond the music world. And I played for her, and she was very tough, a great musician herself, and it ended up being a lesson. On every note, I played Bach Suite and Brahms Sonata and Chopin and Haydn Concerto. And at the end of it, she said, well, let's have a glass of wine, which I thought was nice of her to offer. And we did, and from here to there, it ended up by her saying, you know, you're a big guy, and the maestro was a small guy, but why don't you come to my New York apartment and try his cello? And I was shocked, and that's how it started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now she's a big mentor for me. And mm-hmm. she will come to Puerto Rico to the concert, which will be very exciting.
Wonderful. All right, so let's turn the mic a little bit. Amit Peled is my guest today, is an Israeli-American cellist who will be performing the Victor Herbert Concerto tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon at the Atkinson Recital Hall, Lonnie Klein conducting. It's an all-American program with music of Leonard Bernstein and Lincoln Portrait by Aaron Copland, and Delano Lewis, Ambassador Delano Lewis, is going to be the narrator. Ambassador Lewis, you had a very interesting career yourself, and I just wonder what it means to you to narrate these profound words of President Lincoln for this piece.
Well, it's quite an honor to be the narrator, and you're right. I started my legal career in the Department of Justice when Bobby Kennedy was the Attorney General and John F. Kennedy was the President, and I'd always been interested in civil rights and politics and followed history. And Lincoln is just an icon, and Lonnie Klein and I did the Lincoln Portrait with the All-American High School Orchestra in Kentucky. And this was all state, I think, in Kentucky, and we did the Lincoln portrait there, and it was quite successful. And Lonnie wanted to do it here in Las Cruces and asked me if I would narrate it. And I'm very excited to do it, and I have one special story that I'm going to tell on Saturday and Sunday. And I was president of NPR, and I think it was during the NPR time, but it might have been the year before. But I was invited to the White House with the Clintons, and my wife couldn't go because she had to attend a graduation of our nephew in Sweden. And so I went with my daughter-in-law, and it was a wonderful occasion, and Isaac Stern was playing. It was a small dinner party. And the president wanted to show us, President Clinton wanted to show us the second floor. And we took a tour, and we visited the Lincoln bedroom, which had been President Lincoln's office. And in the middle of this bedroom, there was a small table with a white cloth on it, and a picture of Abraham Lincoln, and under the picture was Emancipation Proclamation. And you could imagine how I felt as African-American. The President of the United States is giving us the tour. We're in Lincoln's bedroom, which had been his office, where he'd signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves. And then his courage and conviction on the 14th Amendment, which give you equal protection regardless of race or previous condition of servitude. So it means a lot. And so Lincoln Portrait has a lot of his words, and it's very, very emotional to me.
And Delana Lewis, you served as the ambassador to South Africa towards the end of the Clinton presidency.
Exactly. Yeah, I was there from 1999 to 2001. And it was toward the end of President Clinton's administration, so I was a political appointee. And when the administration changed in 2000, we had to come home. I was there for a year and a half. Great opportunity to see the transition from Mandela, who had spent 5 years as president, had stepped down, and his deputy assumed the position. Had a chance to meet him on a number of occasions.
I was just going to say, because we read about it when he recently passed away, but tell us one little anecdote about Mandela.
Well, I was lucky enough to see him on many occasions to conduct business. And my favorite story, one of my favorite stories, I had a short visit with him in the office, and I said to my family, my wife was there, and my sister-in-law was visiting along with two grandsons, and they had come to visit. And I left him in the car. So I thought I would be a few minutes, and I were walking out of Mandela's office, and it was at his home in Johannesburg. And he asked about the family, and I said, they're fine. As a matter of fact, they're out in the car. He said, out in the car? Bring them in. And so they all came in, and my grandsons to this day remember meeting him. And he turned to them and said to my grandsons, do you know that your grandfather's a very important man? He's a United States ambassador from America. And he's our ambassador to South Africa from the U.S., a very important man. So I couldn't believe it. Nelson Mandela saying, I'm a very important man. And so it was really quite interesting, exciting.
Well, and it's always a pleasure to see you, and especially to have you here at KRWG, because I think for 5 years you were the president of National Public Radio, and we were a charter member of the NPR network. 1964 became a charter member of NPR, so at KRWG. This is, in fact, our 50th anniversary year.
Wow. And it's very significant that you mentioned that, because that's how we got to Las Cruces. I was asked by the development officer, who's since gone, if I had met her on a number of occasions, and she said she was, would I be interested in coming to Las Cruces when I was president to do a fundraiser and get to know KRWG. So in May, it was a little earlier than that, 1996, It was in the spring. I came here, and there was a fundraiser, not a fundraiser, but a reception for me at the old Bunch Gallery on Avenida de Mesilla, and I toured the campus. And so Gail asked me after that, how did you like Las Cruces? And I said, I really didn't see it. She said, why don't we go back? So several months later, we came back, fell in love with the place, and bought a house within a week. So we've been here now going on 18 years.
And we've been thrilled to have you
Gail
here. So, Lonnie, let's talk to you a little bit. You get to conduct Ambassador Lewis and Amit Peled in this All-American program. It's February. It's Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious how much you have to rehearse with a narrator versus a performer.
Well, good question. Pretty much equal time. I think I've split it up. The Copeland's only 12 minutes. It's a short work. And the concerto is 22 minutes, and that's rather short for a concerto.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting, and it's no secret, Delano doesn't read music. And the music has to connect with the text. It's sort of like German Lied. Copeland chose the words first, and then wrote the music to wrap around the words. So it's there are moments when it's very poignant and very powerful, and that music's got to coincide with the text. And so, you know, it's kind of a juggling act, but we've done it, and we did it in Kentucky, and we did it with a high school group, so I'm sure we can knock it out here. And it was really inspirational, actually, since Delano mentioned that. It was the Kentucky High School Honors Orchestra, sort of the best high school kids in the state, for 3 days. And I wanted them to have this experience. And they'd never had, quote, a guest artist. And so I convinced the committee to let me bring in somebody. And I thought it would be very inspirational. And, of course, I talked about Delano and his history. And then we, of course, narrated this. And we had a packed house. It was at the Center for the Arts in Louisville. Probably 2,500 people there. And the kids really got a special moment. It was really quite magical. And I thought, you know, I want to do this in Las Cruces. And I needed to find the right program. And, you know, I love American music. I love Copland and Bernstein. And Amit said, you know, I didn't know the second concerto of Herbert. Just didn't know it. And I love his manager. And I've worked with Bill Capone for years. And Bill's like, let's do the Herbert. I go, great. I don't know it, but let's do it. What am I getting myself into? But it's really is gorgeous, particularly the second movement. It's just absolutely beautiful music.
So if you don't read music, Delano Lewis, are you just listening for those cues, watching Lonnie Klein? How are you coming in? Like, what's on your page?
Well, let me answer two ways. I discussed this with Gail, and I says, Lonnie keeps mentioning that I don't read music, and we talked about it. She says, you don't need to read music to do this job. However, I was a musician back in my early years, and I do know a little bit about music. I started on the violin, and then I played trumpet in the high school band. So Lonnie may not know that I haven't actively read music in a long time, but it's the rhythm. It's the rhythm, and you can get it by just listening to the music and taking the cues from the conductor. I've been in enough music. I used to be drum major of a high school band. I used to play in a high school band. Yeah. So it all comes back. Yeah. And this is such a rich score that Copland has put together that you can get the feeling. So a little bit of both.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I'm glad you set the record straight.
he can read music. All right. I guess I've asked the questions that I had prepared. Amit Peled is performing the Victor Herbert Cello Concerto, Delano Lewis narrating the Lincoln Portrait, Lonnie Klein conducting, also a couple of works of Leonard Bernstein. So let's just talk for a second about these two, maybe the most famous pieces of Leonard Bernstein, the Overture to Candide and the Symphonic Dances of West Side Story.
Yeah, I believe the Symphonic Dances of the West Side Story, you know, it was written, you know, as a theater piece, obviously, and enormously popular. He scored it for full orchestra for the New York Philharmonic in 1959, and it's not chronological in terms of what's happening in the musical, but, you know, the dances, I mean, you've got the cha-cha, you've got the Somewhere Where Tony Meets Marie, and you've got the rumble and the mambo.
He just
knew how to orchestrate, and the rhythms are so infectious. And it's a huge orchestra. I mean, we got three flutes, piccolo, four clarinets, three bassoons, three oboes, a full brass section, and a huge battery of percussion. And, you know, it's our kind of music. It's our kind of music, and I don't have to teach the orchestra how to swing an eighth note because they know how to do that.
Yeah.
The Italians had a little trouble with. I did this in Europe several years ago, and I was talking about swinging the eighth notes, and they really didn't get that. So,
so
I jumped a hurdle here.
I just have to tell you, we have a CD in the library of Lotta Lenya, who was the wife of Kurt Weill, and for whom he wrote so much of his music, Three Penny Opera. Trying to sing Mack the Knife with Louis Armstrong. And what they did on this CD is we have her singing. I just played it last week. It was one of my requests with another band. And then there's an 8-minute outtake that they put on the CD of Louis Armstrong trying to get her to understand a jazz syncopation.
Mm-hmm.
She can't get it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, she was a great artist.
I tell you,
but
I
Louis
wanna...
Armstrong, you know, he's just like saying, no. Do it like this, and you know, you can hear him smiling and laughing, having a great time with her. and the picture of them is beautiful on the, you know, in the booklet.
Well, you know, some of the music in Bernstein just written as straight eighth notes.
Yeah.
But it says on top, swing it.
Swing it.
And finally I figured out, you know what, I can cross this little bridge with the Italians, this Italian orchestra, and it was southern Italy, and I wrote dotted eighth sixteenths on this board. And I said, I want every time you see the eighth notes, I want you to play a dotted eighth sixteenth rhythm. So it's, instead of going da-da-da-da-da-da, they went da-da-da-da-da. Finally, I got
it. They got it,
yeah. Yeah, an accent the weak beat, you know. So, but it was, you know, it's they enjoyed it. They loved it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's just not as much in the culture.
Exactly.
That's
right.
It. Exactly. It's just not part of the culture. All right. Well, thank you all for coming in. The concert, Saturday night, tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 at the Atkinson Recital Hall, an all-American program. Amit Pallad, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Ambassador Delano Lewis, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
And
thank
Lonnie
you.
Klein, always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Leora.